live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, it is indeed with Kevin Eustace, and we are back again. It's the Sunday sermon time. It's my favourite time of the week. I don't know about you guys, I sincerely hope so. How have you been? How's my back, you all ask? Well, it's much better. It's still got pain when I get into certain positions. For example, getting in and out of the car is bloody agony. But, you know, you grin and bear it, don't you? So, we need to talk about ghosts. Indeed, we do. And we owe you a big episode, don't we? So, the midpoint today is going to be elongated. Yes, I'm going to go upstairs and talk to Becca and shoot the breeze. And then we'll be back in the second half for more ghost stories. Don't forget, guys, we need to talk about ghosts dark. Getting ever closer. Yes, darkness is coming. And that will be released a week Wednesday. This Wednesday, we will have a standard we don't need to talk about. And the following Wednesday, dark. Yes, get yourself a new pack of underpants ready for that one. Because I need it to be so terrifying that you like want to stop it halfway through. And I want it to exude terrifying evilness that you're just like, I can't have it in the house. Anyway, how have you all been? I do hope that you've been well. As always, we want to say a big thank you to our Patreons who keep the show afloat. And we especially want to say thank you to our new Patreons, who we often and always like to say thank you via the medium of song. And we've had a couple of patrons sign up this week, so let me fetch my guitar. The guitar's out with aplomb. And we've got two new patrons this week. They go by the wonderful names, which rhyme, thankfully, of Jennifer Leary and Shauna Feeney. Yes, so this is for you.
Two lovely ladies signed to Patreon. Two lovely ladies signed to Patreon. Jennifer Leary and Shauna Feeney. Yeah, they sign up to Patreon. Ended on a 7.
Can you say two lovely ladies? Is that being sexist? No, not if they're lovely ladies, surely. Anyway, before I get bogged down in that pit of vipers, I've just killed my entire guitar collection, as you may have heard. I'm sure they're going to be okay. Anyway, I'm recording a podcast. I don't have time for that. So a big thank you to Jennifer and Shauna. If you'd like to be like those two lovely ladies and sign up to our Patreon, where, of course, you get an extra couple of shows each week and any other dibble-dabble that we feel relevant, then you need to go up to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. This week's Patreon will be released shortly after this episode, where myself and Rebecca will be talking about something she's dug up, normally folklore, reincarnation, things like that. So go to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. So another thing that I've noticed, that sounded like I was going to have a big mission, didn't it? No, another thing I've noticed is that nobody's putting dishes away. No, what I mean is, another thing that's been highlighted to me by the lovely Rin, one of our listeners, there's a podcast award thing that the BBC are running that I didn't even know about, and she's voted for us, which is bloody lovely. So it's like a listener's choice award. We're not going to win it, because there are huge podcasts out there. But you never know, in for a penny, in for a pound. So in the show notes, along with the Patreon link, I've also put where you can vote for us, yeah? Be aware when you do enter it. So I've been told. Umakin, I voted for us too. I voted for myself. How about that? When you enter it, it does send you a link out to confirm your vote, and it normally goes to your spam, so you'll have to go in there and click that as well. As I say, we're not going to win it, but feel free to go and do that. That'd be lovely. Just lovely. Yes. Anyway, shall we see what's going to be a I can't speak. Shall we see what's been going on in the world that is weird? Yes, we shall.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, we're back once again with some of the weirdest behaviour in the world. Yes. So, the Daily Mirror has reported that one of the best saucer photographs, as in UFOs, has been captured, and they say that it's one of the best in the last 40 years. And this has been caught in the country of Poland. Dum, dum, Poland. Yes. It says, Philip Mantle says the sighting of the UFO in Poland has left him baffled, and an ex-RAF photo expert says that they are genuine. Jason Gleave, a photo expert, has scrutinised the snaps and he believes they're genuine. It's a spinning top-shaped UFO, which is reminiscent, I think, of some of the very first photographs of UFOs that you'll have ever seen. You know, like in magazines where you see, like, the spinning top grey UFO with, like, bubbles underneath the circle. It's one of them. which I always thought was a fake one, but if it's now been seen in 2020, maybe that first one was genuine. But it says the spinning top-shaped UFO was spotted by a man riding his bike in a remote area near the village of Jastoro, roughly 180 miles from Warsaw. Warsaw, Poland. He says it made a strange rustling sound as it rubbed against the top of a tree before disappearing. Interesting. He then took photographs, which were then sent on to a journalist and ufologist, Robert Bernatowicz. But he's keeping his name secret, the guy who took the photographs. He says the man fears he may have suffered missing time when he photographed the UFOs, as many UFO witnesses report. Now, the photographs have been passed on to UK expert Mr. Mantle of Pontefract. We know there's a poltergeist there too. And he says, I've worked on a number of alleged UFO photo cases down the years, with most of them turning out to be either something conventional or a hoax. However, looking at these, he says, I was amazed at how high quality they were. I overlaid the five separate images to confirm the movement of the object. It appeared to move in a small radius of approximately 200 feet, staying within approximately 150 to 200 feet altitude from ground level. Also very noticeable and helpful regarding the analysis process was the mass of foliage, etc. This was very productive to ascertain perspective relative to the object and its surroundings and tree-line positions. The unknown camera operator appears to have taken the photographs from five slightly different positions in each image, but all within an approximate few feet of each other. Other important factors come into play regarding the image, such as location, sun positioning, time of day, and trees, etc. Without this information, it would have been more difficult to give an accurate conclusion, but that conclusion is, this is a genuine UFO. Yes. So if you Google Polish man captures UFO, you will see the image in question, or the images in question. I believe there's something weird there, but it looks almost like a toy. So I don't know. What do you think? You let me know, and we'll be back next week for more.
Weekend Weird.
And we're back. And we're ready to get scared, I think. So our first story today is the final story that was sent in as a group by Tony Wesley. And his story goes like this. This is my last story. It's quick and sad, but I'll be making a couple of jokes during it, as that's how I handle my feelings, repression and humour. My father died in 2018 of a massive heart attack. My mother wanted to cremate and bury him with his mother, an hour from our home. I refused to let her on the grounds that I don't have a car and would never get to make a trip out to see him. As my grandmother's been in her grave since 2012, and I've not been out there once. So my father's best friend, a man I affectionately call Uncle Jerry, made us an urn, and most of Dad sits on our dining room sideboard with Mum's good china. I don't know if Dad's actually around, or if it's the energy of the house remembering what it sounded like when he was around. But I often hear him clearing his throat very distinctly, or the sound of him snoring from the next room. I know it's his sound because a lot of the time I'll be sitting in his study and the sound of the cough will come from the room I'm in, and no one else goes in there because it's my study now. He didn't share a bedroom with my mother because they both slept better apart, so the snoring comes from the bedroom that was his, which is connected to mine by a heat vent. So to sum up, my current home has ghost cats, ghost dogs and a ghost dad, and I've lived in two haunted apartments and one with a demon in a cupboard. I hope you've enjoyed my stories as much as I enjoy telling them and hearing people tell me, get an exorcism. I love this podcast and I can't wait to hear more. In brackets, as I'm typing this, I'm listening to the episode A Demon's Playground. Keep it up, Tony Wesley. Thank you, Tony. I intend to keep it up. God forbid I be struck by lightning or a demon gets me in my sleep. From a cupboard or elsewhere. But no, thank you, Tony, for sending that in. What a little tale. I was talking to Becca about this recently. I do think that, you know, like similar to stone tape theory, as we all know, I won't go into it again, but I do think that houses do have the ability to, under certain conditions, replicate things that have took on a life in there. Do you know what I mean? Now, I normally say that that's down to a strongly charged emotional event that's happened. So whether it's been an argument or someone dying or a fight or a murder, I don't normally think it's just someone clearing the throat. But what do I know? All of this is unproven as of yet. But thank you, Tony. What an amazing story. And don't forget, if you want to send in stories en masse like Tony did, feel free. And I'll read them out over a series of episodes as we've done with Tony. Anyway, should we have more?
Yes, we shall.
Now, the next thing is not an email. Well, it is an email. It's off the back of an email. One of our lovely listeners has sent in an email asking if we've heard about the Bold Street time slips. And this is coming from Taylor Lyle. Thank you, Taylor. And we have. So Bold Street basically is a street, obviously, in Liverpool city centre. It's literally 3 minutes walk from where I'm recording this now. It's one of Liverpool's oldest streets. And if you've ever been to Liverpool, it's got like a bit of a funky feel. You know, it's got all like independent shops on it and stuff like that. However, underneath Bold Street are tunnels which lead all the way down to the bottom of the street to this big building called the Lyceum, which was, I believe it was England's first public library. It's no longer that. It's like a gentleman's club or something now. Anyway, there's been time slips allegedly happening on that street for years. And sorry, did you hear that then?
Something's just fell in the room.
And the door is shut and I'm the only one in the room. A bit freaked out, I'm going to be honest, because I am the only one in here. However, and just in case you're wondering, is it that you dropped the guitars before? The guitars are all against one wall and there's nothing else there. But something's just fell and I can't see anything on the floor, but I heard it and felt it. Anyway. Disconcerted, but continuing nonetheless. So Bold Street is scary. It's scary because it's underground. There's tunnels that all lead. They lead basically. It's a long, narrow street, and the tunnels lead to the cellars of both sides of the street and run right down the street. Apparently, it's got something to do with the old slave trade and things such as that. Rumor has it, anyway. So. She sent me through a link to a couple of stories from a journalist put on there. But I'm more interested. I've heard them all before. And you know what? In all likelihood, so have you. And if you haven't, just Google time slip stories, because I don't want to really use somebody else's work. I honestly believe a lot of them are really exaggerated and embellished for the sake of making a story. But it does have an eerie feel. And I'm more interested in the final part of this journalist's article that she's put, because she's tried to give an explanation for it. And it's dead good. I've shared these pictures previously. So basically, she writes, several people have offered theories as to why Bold Street has produced so many similar accounts of people falling into a time slip. So, for example, they'll go into a shop and when they come outside, there's a horse and carriage and stuff. And they're back in some ancient time. So a local journalist has stated that there's a crack in time in the vicinity. Others have pointed to the city's underground railway system, claiming that the high-voltage rails form a circle close to Bold Street. And they do. They really do. And this might have something to do with the creation of a portal through time. Rather eerily, and this is the best bit, people who worked and resided in Bold Street in the 60s, the decade which many claim to have slipped back to, seem to have agreed that something was not quite right on the street. When Chris Gibson, the founder of the community and construction project Future Liverpool, went down into the cellar of one of Bold Street's shops with a colleague in 2010, they were disturbed to find several unsettling messages written on the walls. And there's a photo of them, and they're dead good. One of which is dated from February 1966 and reads, "God have mercy on all who enter here." Underneath, and this is the clincher, underneath that, dated 3 years later, on the 12th of September, 1969, in block capitals, somebody has scrawled onto the wall, "It's no joke." Now, he also says that people who work there nowadays have reported noises coming from within the rooms downstairs, including a low buzzing sound mixed with a sort of clattering. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to save that image with the graffiti on because it's terrifying. I'm going to share it to the Facebook group today. Hooray. So, thank you, Taylor, for sending that in. I do know about the time slips. If anyone wants to read those stories, please just Google Bold Street time slips, because they're all, a lot of them are done by one local author. And I'm not a fan of his. I think he embellishes a lot of his work. But if you want to go and read them, they do make for interesting reading. But what I will do is give credit to the writer of that article, because I just literally read out some of their work. So the writer of that article, surname is Lawton. And her first name is, let me see, I think it's Laura. Oh, sorry, it's not. It's Laura Roughton or Roughton. So a big thank you to her. I don't know whether that's how you're allowed to use work. Probably not, but it's relevant. And I think she'd enjoy the show, in truth. But I think it could be a good explanation as well. I've never heard the fact that it could be the electric railway that's causing those time slips, but you never know. It might be indeed. So thank you for getting in touch, Tyler, with that. Taylor, even. Thank you very much. So let's have more spooky stories. So our next spooky story is the second part. Well, it's not the second part. It's the second story that's been sent in from George McDermott. And we've done his first one last week. Remember Manny, the spooky ghost? Yes. Well, this is his second story. And it goes like this. This was originally meant to be about my dad, but I mentioned it to him and he asked me to remove it. He's a bit iffy with things like this and me telling people about his experiences, but I'll try and work on him and hopefully he'll be okay down the line. Instead, I'll share another story that I planned on telling down the line in another email. This is a nicer one and differs from the vandalising ghost in the previous story. In 2000, I started secondary school. It's a weird time for everyone because you've made all your mates in the past 7 years in primary school and then you move up to the big school and your classes are all mixed, so you're kind of starting all over again. In the first week of starting, they hold an assembly. Each school year will be allocated a day in specific order, so Monday will be the assembly for first year, Tuesday will be second year, etc. In our assembly, the head teacher made an announcement about one of my friends from primary school. Unknown to us, the assembly was to say a prayer and keep his dad in our thoughts as he had just died. For the sake of the story now, we'll refer to my friend as Dougie. The summer before starting secondary school had been ace. There were a group of about 12 of us, usually Dougie included. Over the course of the 6 weeks, we'd went up for him a few times but got no answer. So hearing the news about this now in assembly, it all made sense. He was off for a good while. And by the time he returned, everyone was in their own circle of friends. We'd speak every now and again on MSN Messenger, and I'd never asked or brought up his dad, because in my mind, if he was doing okay, then I randomly bring it up again, it wouldn't be very nice to make him think of it again. Through word of mouth, we found out that his dad had had cancer and was diagnosed quite late on. Around third year, we started hanging round together again. We were at his house one night, and we were talking about his dad and how his dad's 50th birthday would have been coming up. Dougie started telling me about what had happened, the going-ons with his dad's illness and all the hospital visits, etc. Really sad and quite upsetting. His dad was a great guy and is still missed. Now Dougie's mother, who we'll call Lizzie, would be up all hours visiting dad in the hospice. By this point he was in terrible pain and was heavily medicated to combat it. She'd find him mumbling, broken sentences, and other days she'd hear him talking to people who weren't there. She jokingly asked him who he was chatting to, and he usually told her, the bairns. She thought nothing of it. You probably know, but bairns is a Scottish term for children, I think. Over the coming days, the chats would increase, and she would find herself walking into his room on the back end of a conversation, thinking someone else was visiting by the way he was talking, and there would be no one there. When she asked, he would say, the bairns, or my mum was up visiting. Before going forward, if anyone's listening to this story and has lost someone close, hopefully the rest of this story comes as peace of mind. Lizzie didn't believe in the afterlife or ghosts, until after this. She'd stayed overnight and went to get a coffee and a fag. When she came back, she heard the dad chatting away. She heard him laughing, and this had been the first time in a long while. As she peeked her head in the doorway, she seen no one and heard him say, okay mate, I'll see yous around 3 o'clock then. On what would be their last day together as husband and wife, Lizzie told me they talked about the future, held hands and looked over old photos she brought up. During this, he pointed at one of the photos. It was of her younger brother. He was up seeing us earlier, gonna see him in the morning, said Dad. It was Lizzie's brother in the photo who had committed suicide 12 years earlier by jumping off the Tay Bridge. He was 21 then. The next morning, on Saturday, July the 15th, he passed away just before 3 p.m. Make of that what you will, but I find that to be a great comfort. I hope these stories haven't stretched on too long. I'll get a blether with my dad and see if we can get his experience on the podcast, even if he records it himself. I've got a few others and I'll get these sent in the coming weeks. Cheers. Uncle Dodie. Wow. What a story. And that's from George McDermott. Amazing. What a tale. You know what? Wow. You know, I'm so emotionally struck by that ending of that story that I'm not even like tearful emotional. I'm like gobsmacked. And you know me, people, I'm never lost for words. What a story, George. Please send in the rest that you've got, because if they're as good and as well told as that, and as those, sorry, then I think we can all agree the bride will be interested. So please do send them in. What a tale. I mean, I do believe in all that. You know, like when we've got it, we've had it in the family. I couldn't tell you specifics, but I know I've heard the stories of people like saying, they'll be here for me, or there's my mum, you know, and there's no one there and the mother's long dead. We had one, didn't we, recently, if you remember the story of the lady sent it in who lives quite near where my dad lives, and about the poor woman who died at home after hearing that her husband had died in hospital. And then the husband who didn't, no one of the family knew that she died at this point. However, her husband who was in hospital dying was like saying, oh, there she is. And, you know, I just believe in all that. I really do. I was just talking about this with Becca, weirdly enough, synchronicity enough, about I do believe that spirits come back and will wait for people who are dying and stuff. Anyway, you're about to hear that because we're about to have an elongated midpoint, which I've just recorded with Becca, and we're going to have a chat for a bit of a while because we owe you some good content. So this is the midpoint. Hooray! I think we can all agree we're due one, and we'll be back after it with more spooky stuff. Hurrah! And we are at the midpoint, the Western midpoint. Why does it sound so different? Everybody shouted out in unison. And the reason for that is because joining me on this elongated midpoint, because we owe you some content from last week, it is the one and only, the indubitable, Rebecca. Becca.
Hello.
That was the tiniest volumed hello you've ever
said.
I don't
think it was. Hello.
You're a little bit tender, aren't you, because you had a drink last night?
I'm not, I'm fine.
You said, I didn't even drink that much last night. Half a litre of gin.
Not half a litre, half a bottle.
Oh, sorry.
There's a difference.
Half a 75cl bottle has
70
gone.
70cl. And less than half has gone.
So at least...
Over a third has gone, I'll give you.
Yeah. Nearly half's gone?
Nearly half, but not quite half.
Okay. And you know, you're an adult, you can do what you like, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not feeling tender, I'm fine.
Aren't you?
Nope.
Well, when I went to drop off a card for my sister-in-law and came back, what had you had for your breakfast?
Well, I had made it fresh yesterday.
But what was it?
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake!
Yeah.
The food of hangovers.
Yeah, but it's because it's what we had in the fridge. I made that cheesecake fresh yesterday. Like, I actually made it with my own two hands, didn't I?
Yeah, but I mean, the point of it is that hungover food is literally whatever's in the fridge. And your answer
well,
was...
What was I supposed to do?
Sit and wait patiently till I come and cook you some dinner like I just have.
Well, I did after the cheesecake.
Oh, that's true.
I didn't start on anything else.
So, it's the midpoint. And what we're going to talk about in this little section is the fact that you may have seen on the Facebook video that we put up last night, and I also put it on Instagram, is we have a strange sensation of flickering lights in the bedroom, don't we?
Yeah.
You're adamant it's just the bulb.
Well, it is just the bulb.
Well, people have said, no, a bulb would flicker then go out.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the connection. It's quite an old lamp. Maybe it's the fuse. I don't know.
Maybe it's the dead.
Maybe it's a demon. Have you told them about what happened the night before, though?
No. Well.
So, you and I had a bit of an argument, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you went to bed, and I stayed up for a bit, and we're both, like, huffing and puffing and not speaking to each other. But then, you went down and the lamp started flickering.
I went down and the lamp
flickering.
Started flickering the night before as well.
So he got scared and tried to make up with me.
Yeah, when Becca came in, I was like, listen, sorry about that.
Yeah. Because listen, if you need anything the night, you know, you just let me know and I'll... And I was like, yeah, right, thanks, because I was still annoyed and had no idea you were only trying to make up with me because you were scared there was a demon.
Yeah, because I was scared.
Meaning, when you said, if you need anything at night, you were meaning, and if I get scared because there's a demon, yeah. you'll help me.
I mean, honestly, it's just translated as, can I wake you up in the night if I get scared because I think something's going on? But I genuinely do think something's going on. I don't think
demons
it's
demons bringing people close together.
Well, it's an interesting little... You know where you try and look for correlations and things like that and causal effects? It's only been a couple of weeks since I brought that stone, hasn't it? What's it called? Malachite? Or
Mesonite?
No, I'll tell you what the name of it is. The name of this stone, which I paid over the bloody odds
it's
for...
It's not a demon stone, though, is it? It's like a nice stone.
No, but it's the most...
wealth stone.
It's allegedly the most psychic-inducing stone, like as in psychic phenomena, that there is...
Right.
And this is called moldavite.
Moldavite. Yeah.
And when I first got it, I went downstairs, held it in my hand, and fell asleep. And I had some very vivid out of body dreams. They were just dreams, though. Definitely, it wasn't out of my body. But very, like, one after another.
A body dream? Was it just a dream?
I think I mentioned this before on the podcast as well. It was where I'd. That was when I remember I came up and said, "How long was I downstairs for?" And you said 15 minutes, and I said, "I feel like I've been down there for hours." It was really weird. Then we've had the cat staring at something over my shoulder, which freaked me the living hell out. Mm-hmm. And now flickering light in the bedroom. Somebody made a very good suggestion on Facebook, actually, under the video where they said, "Just replace the bulb, and if it continues, demon."
No, it was several things. It was just replace the bulb, and if that continues, replace the fuse, and if that continues, replace something else.
Oh, was it?
It wasn't that. Demon, yeah. I don't know how to change a fuse. I'm willing to bet you don't.
I do.
I bet you don't.
I bet you do. You know when you take the back off a plug, there's like a little fuse.
Right.
Right, and then you see what the amperage is on it. You get a knife or something and fork it out.
See, get a knife. You're definitely not supposed to get a knife.
Do you? You get something to wedge it out. And then you go to the hardware shop and you say, "Excuse me, can I have one of these?"
And where is your local hardware shop?
Jimmy's Hardware.
You have no idea where you would get a fuse, do you?
You get one from Asda?
Absolutely no idea.
But, and Asda's basically Walmart. It is owned by Walmart, but you get one from Walmart.
Don't suppose you've got any of these here fuses. I've just taken the back off this. All right, lad,
I need a 14 amp wigger bagger. Thank you, yeah. Don't know what a wigger bagger is. Yes, so I do think there's a demon in the house.
Yeah, it's probably not, though.
No. Don't forget, guys, we need your submissions for dark. Darkness is coming. Darkness is coming.
Darkness is coming.
Sorry. Wait there. Just let me say that. Whisper that to me again. Let me see if I can.
You mentioned the cat.
How did I?
Just realised you said the cat was looking at something.
Yeah, the neighbour's cat was looking at me.
Well, you have to say the neighbour's cat.
Sorry, yeah, the neighbour's cat was looking at me.
Everyone will be thinking we've got a cat when we haven't got a cat.
No, we've got the neighbour's cat who occasionally comes in.
And looks at things.
Oh, you might be able to hear an ice cream van in the pissing down rain. It's not going to do much.
It's not that rainy.
Well, it is. Anyway, yeah, we need dark. Darkness is coming. So this Wednesday coming will be a standard we don't need to talk about. And the following Wednesday, yes, make a note in your diaries. Like, anyone has a diary anymore?
I have a diary.
Yeah, but you don't write, "Today was a terrible day."
Well, no, but when you say make a note in your diary, it doesn't mean that kind of diary. It means the kind of diary that I have, like a planner diary.
Oh, right, okay, make a note in your planner.
Yeah. Not like, "Dear diary, I can't wait for the dark episodes." That's not what you mean when you say make a note in your diary, is it?
I kind of do. Yeah, I would. A week Wednesday, the first dark episode will hit.
Good news today!
And as I said... As I said, I do genuinely, genuinely want it to be something that you want to turn off halfway through. Not because it's terrible, but because you're like, I just can't listen to it.
What a rubbish business plan for a podcast.
No, I just want it to reek of evil. You know, like where some people won't have the film The Exorcist in the house. Like, did you know the girl that I went out with long term before you? Not the one in between, who was a lunatic. The one that I went out with long term.
The one you dated for 7 years and wouldn't move in with.
Yeah, that one. Her mum wouldn't have the DVD of The Exorcist in her house. I turned up with it to watch one Halloween, and she said, "No, honestly, just leave it in the porch. It's not coming in."
That's ridiculous.
Sincerely.
So she thought every copy of the DVD was also haunted?
Yeah, but there's also, like, that, touching back to that thing, you know, the Nietzschean quote, when you look into the abyss looks into you.
Yeah.
There are people who believe, it's similar to the whole, don't be messing around with the Ouija boards, because if you mess with it, it'll mess with you.
Yeah.
And similar to, you didn't want me to get a pendulum.
Because we've got enough paranormal garbage.
We haven't got enough paranormal garbage.
And anyway, didn't I buy you the pendulum?
You did in the end. You know what? I need to. This is the. You know, for people who don't believe, such as you, this will be the most ludicrous statement you've ever heard. But I really need to get out, polish, and charge all of these items.
What do you mean charge?
Like, leave some of them. You leave in the sun. Some of them you bury in earth.
Solar powered.
Well, no,
that's
like,
good, isn't it?
As in, like,
solar powered.
I mean, I wouldn't do it with the crystal ball because it'll set fire to the place. That's happened. You know, people have had the houses burned down because they've left the crystal ball out.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a crystal on the end of the pendulum, and I don't, some of them you leave out for the sun to recharge, some of the moon, some you leave in dirt. You fuck off, it's true. Well, you know, it's alleged. I don't know how you're meant to charge the Moldavite that I've got there.
Well, this is it, because we were looking at, even I was Googling it for you, to see, like, what it does and how you get it to do these things, and people were like, when you're working with Moldavite, I was like, what does that mean? What do you mean, when you're working with? And you were like, just hold. I was like, no, is that all it means? In that case, say, just hold. Or, like, what do you mean when you're working with what? What does that actually mean?
It means, like, when you're trying to contact spirit. I imagine.
Just the one.
No, yeah. Well, here's what I've done with it the other day. I had a nap downstairs and I placed it on my forehead. Right, and it says in the reviews, be aware, this stone will go missing and you'll find it again in strange places.
Well, that's because it's a tiny rock.
Yeah.
And with the best will in the world, most people, especially you, aren't going to be able to keep track of that.
So I put it on my forehead and fell asleep.
Considering yesterday you were asking where your wallet was and you're always asking where your e-cig is.
Yeah, that's true.
No chance of keeping track of the time.
But anyway, I fell asleep on bed. On bed?
On bed.
I fell asleep on bed and put this rock on my third eye and fell asleep. And when I woke up, it was gone, right? And it wasn't anywhere around me. And I genuinely, two things crossed my mind and I both give them credence. What? Firstly, I thought, this is it. It's disappeared now, like they've said it would. Well, three things. Secondly, I thought, the cat's at it.
The neighbour's cat.
The neighbour's cat set it, and this is going to be... They'll have to take him to the vet.
Imagine having to break it to the neighbour that the cat set a stone.
Yeah, and they're going to have to take it to the vet and spend a lot of money to get this magic stone out, if I want it back. And thirdly, you know what genuinely entered my head? This is how much belief that I've got, that this is a completely wizard-like stone. Oh. I thought, what if me head set it? And it's like, I thought, genuinely, because I'd just woken up as well, I was like, is it so... charged with like psychicness, it's materialized through my head and absorbed into my brain. Genuinely, not 100%, but it was one of my options I was toying with. The way Becca's looking at me now is like she wants to ring an ambulance.
Honestly, what? So your head just absorbed it?
Yeah, like. Oh, maybe
it did. Have you found it yet? Maybe it did.
Yeah, funny enough, I just moved the quilt and it was there.
Well, obviously.
And then I realized how stupid I was for. Assuming that my forehead could eat sacred items. It's sacred now, by the way.
Oh, is it sacred?
Yeah. But interestingly, it has come... The one that I bought, although it was 15 quid.
This is going up. It was 12 last time, 13.
I just can't
remember. Did you actually spend on
this? No, it was 15. $14.99. But it was part of a big batch that like they'd done the dig and they've got all this. And I looked and it's all sold out now. So... There are gullible idiots like me worldwide who bought this. And it's genuine Moldavite, you can tell, because it's got bubbles in it.
Right. Yeah. So you're going to sell yours then, make a tiny profit? No, it's a collector's item.
It is rare. I arguably could hold on to it and sell it to some other gullible fool in the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is, of course... Oh, yeah, in other news, one of our listeners has sent me through... You know TikTok?
I know of it.
Yeah, I know of it. Like, it's a social media videos, yeah, mm-hmm. as opposed to Instagram, which is photos.
Yeah.
There's a thing starting off called Witch Talk, which is in TikTok. Right. It's called Witch Talk videos, but it's like a dark, witchy element or something. Anyway, somebody sent me a link. This lad was seeing these Witch Talk videos come up in his feed. And this one particular one said, listen to this album through from start to finish and you'll trip. Right.
Just by listening to the album?
Yeah, basically. And when you look, and then they sent through the link to the album as well. And it's on Spotify, and it's based on the Kabbalic tree, which weirdly I've been reading it in this book here, just to my right, mm-hmm. Magic and Occult Primer by David Conway. That was enough, that was 20 quid. And I've just been reading the section on the Kabbalah.
Tell you what, they're not soft, these people who sell paranormal stuff, are they?
No, they're not. And anyway, I was going to listen to it last night, but I didn't, because the lamp started flickering, and I shit out, in truth. But, together with my Moldavite, I might have the perfect come-out-of-your-body experience now.
Could you?
What do you make of that?
Very little.
So, you... What was that? So, you're also going to be, obviously, joining, dare I say, hosting the Patreon episode this week. Yes. You're going to be doing more folklore, is it?
No.
What are you doing this week?
A couple of things.
Oh, yeah.
So last time we did some things on parents share the things that kids have done that convinced them about past lives.
Yes, we did, yeah.
About got a couple more regression. Of them. A couple of good ones there. A couple more of them.
So past lives are in there, yeah.
Yeah. And either you can decide.
Oh. Oh, lucky me.
Because it's either two-sentence horror stories.
No, that's fake, isn't it?
It's all fake, Kevin.
Shut up. It's not. But my point of it is, like, and then when I looked, it was my dead auntie. There's a two-sentence horror story. But it's not real, is it?
No.
Well, go on.
But this is how I feel about all of them.
I know it is, yeah. Very true.
All right, then. Well, then you might not like this one either.
Three-sentence horror stories? As well.
No. This is, people think of the scariest messages that aliens could send you.
No.
All right, we'll just do the dead kids one then.
No, we'll find something else. You've got loads of time.
No, we'll do the
past we'll do more
children.
Past lives.
Children's
don't
past
see dead kids. Fucking hell. Oh, you know what we do need to say? And I've just realised after I've swore, it's not the best time for it to be happening. But we need to say hello to possibly our youngest listener.
Yeah.
Pearl?
Yes, hi Pearl.
Hi Pearl.
And Sue.
Pearl and Sue. Pearl, listen, is a lovely little girl that we've known for ages. Well, you've known her since birth, haven't you?
Yeah.
I've known her since she was maybe about two or three.
Oh, yeah.
I used to read little books to her and she used to go and get them and bring
them.
Yeah,
she loved to read to
her. Yeah, yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
But she listens to the show with her grandma now.
Yes,
and Sue. And she says, Kevin's on the radio. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah.
And I can't answer her back because it's a recording.
No.
But hello, Pearl.
So our nan's Sue and our granddad's Dave. And we love Sue and Dave.
And we love Sue and Dave. They're brilliant people.
Yeah.
Yes, so hello, Pearl. Don't answer me back because I won't be able to hear you. Well, that sounded like I was telling her off. Don't answer me back.
Don't answer me back.
No, no. Hello, Pearl. We're so glad you're the youngest listener of the show. And
yeah, she gets excited that she can hear Kevin and Becca on the radio.
Yeah,
doesn't she?
Yeah. So this will be a special treat for her. And we do apologise for any swearing. Just we're already going to hell for that. So you know. yeah. So I think that's it for our extended midpoint.
Okay.
So you will be joining us on the Patreon. You've got I want more than just dead kids.
I don't care what you want.
Wow. Love, love, love.
Well, sorry, I won't just be commanded to do better research than that. Like, no, you're lucky you're getting what you're getting, frankly.
Fair enough.
Considering this is supposed to be your podcast and you're just asking me to do the bulk work of it.
Becca, get me some content, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you've got more reincarnated children stories.
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll all look forward to that. So if you want to hear that, you need to go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. In the meantime and in between time, this is the end of the midpoint. Thank you, Becca, for joining me for this elongated midpoint.
You are welcome.
That was no one knows, but you've done the biggest yawn before that.
That's
how
right,
can the paranormal not interest you and excite you as much as it does me? It literally excites me to the point of, like, shivers down the spine and, like, this is amazing.
I don't know, just, like, in the same way that aliens don't. Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. If you don't believe in something, it's just of very little interest.
Well, thankfully, everyone who's listening to this does. So we're all about to go and get really scared. I've got to go back downstairs and tell more ghost stories.
Okay.
Tatty bye.
Bye.
There you go. And that was, of course, the wonderful Rebecca, who I think we can all agree is lovely. I think so, anyway. So let's get back to more spook. Yes. So... Oh, I will just say, before I carry on, we've just recorded the Patreon episode immediately after that, and it's resurrection-y, but then it goes, there's also a little bit about twins. There's a lot of stuff about twins. Quite interesting. As I say, go to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts, if you want to hear it. Anyway, so we've had an email in by our wonderful friend, Bex. Hello, Bex. Bex Oliver. Yes, not Oliver. No, Bex Oliver. Yes. And she sent in, hi, Kev. Hi. Hope you and Becca are well. We are. I have a couple of things to share. Hopefully they're useful. I hope so too. I live very near to Dartmoor and we walk there quite a bit. Our most recent walk was at Hound Tor and Manaton. And lo and behold, by happy accident, we happened upon Kitty J's grave, which you've mentioned in a previous episode. I did indeed. So I got out the car and took a few pictures to send in, attached, which I will put on the Facebook group. Just search We Need to Talk About Ghosts and you can find the group. You have to answer a few questions, but you can get in. I've heard the stories about the dark, shadowy figure too, but never seen anything there. I have to say, the baby was a particularly creepy touch. Mm. And then thank you for that, Bex. And Bex, I will put those pictures on the Facebook group, like I've just said. Bex continues, I also have a story to share, which comes from a friend. Well, let's get that story, Bex. Yes, let's get scared together. He and his partner and their dog, Bess, were staying at an off-grid cottage in a wooded valley, which opens up and leads onto Dartmoor. The wood is home to a footpath and cycle route along the old railway, which took granite between Dartmoor and Plymouth. It has a number of viaducts, a tunnel, which is part of the cycle path, and there are numerous ruined railway cottages, mines, etc., so it can be very atmospheric on a creepy day. During the night, they were both awoken suddenly by the sound of a door slamming somewhere in the cottage. Bess ran out of the room and down the stairs. They went to investigate, peering down the stairs. Bess was sat at the bottom, staring at the closed door to the living room as if she wanted to go in. At this point, my friend's partner said that he thought he heard children giggling just after the door slammed. They called Bess back upstairs, but she wouldn't stay with them in the bedroom and kept going back downstairs to sit there and stare at the closed door. It took them a while to work up the courage to open the living room door. They pushed it open cautiously, expecting to find the worst, but to find absolutely nothing. The room was empty, and once they'd done that, Bess settled down fine. My friend thinks Bess may have heard a deer outside and went after it, but still, so it could be something and nothing. I had a look and couldn't find anything about the woods being haunted, but we all know Dartmoor is a very weird place. My grandparents loved walking there when they were alive, and it is beautiful, but it has quite a dark side to it. I'm always a little bit scared when walking. The weather can quickly turn, and you can be in very bleak surroundings, and there are tons of ghost stories and legends that terrified me as a kid, and still do. We went on a ghost walk last year, and the guy who ran it was part of a supernatural group. He said that they'd been investigating human sacrifice and whether it happens on the moors, and this was neither confirmed nor denied. He just told us, in brackets, the ghost walk group, that the team had found satanic sigils in an abandoned fort on the outskirts of the city as part of another investigation. Around the solstice and various other dates of the year, it's not uncommon to find animal remains from sacrifices and things such as that on the moors. And on that cheery note, I shall end it on a seventh. Laters. Bex Alver, no I. No I indeed, sir. Thank you, Bex. That's amazing. And those pictures will go up on the Facebook group so that you can all have a gander at them. What a couple of tales. Yes, I don't like the idea of a little old house having children laughing and giggling and slamming doors. No, I don't. But on another note, a week today, is it? Well, put it this way, this next weekend coming up, myself and Becca, yes, are going with her mother's side of the family to an old barn up in the north to celebrate somebody's birthday. It's not as spooky as it sounds, but it is an old barn. I am going to take all my ghostbusting equipment and we are going to record an episode up there, hopefully. We're all going to get drunk and I'm going to get stories from each and every person there, hopefully, so that I can edit into a big show. So I'm going to have to do a pre-record for next weekend's episode because we won't be here. We simply won't be here. But Bex, I want to say thank you very much. If you've got stories like Bex, don't forget, guys, I've only just given this out now, but send in your stories too, if you're wondering. contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I will read them out, for that's how the show works. But sincerely, thank you. And what Bex has also done with that, we can't just kind of leave it there with a tease on how spooky Dartmoor is. She's also provided a link with Tales of Dartmoor. So, to end this episode, we're going to have a few Tales of Dartmoor, so we can see just how bloody terrifying it is. And let me tell you, it is. So, these tales, or this tale that we're going to end with, is from a website which has been put together, I think, by this fella called Tim Sandals. The website is legendarydartmoor.co.uk, and I have spent hours looking at this. He's bloody amazing. He's put together all of these tales. I suggest you go and check it out. So this is all his work, Tim Sandals, and it's amazing. That's legendarydartmoor.co.uk. Go and check it out because it's effing fantastic. So this tale is the Haunted Vicarage. Probably the last place on earth where you would expect to see unearthly happenings occur is a vicarage. But then again, anything is possible on mysterious Dartmoor. Back in the days when Queen Victoria sat on the throne and Britannia ruled the waves, there was an aged vicar who dwelt in the vicarage of a remote Dartmoor parish. For decades, he had faithfully ministered to his flock, but sadly, old age and ill health had taken their toll. In his final days, he had become a recluse and confined himself to the old vicarage that was his home. Eventually, the sad day came when the old vicar ascended into heaven to live with the angels, or so the simple souls of the parish assumed. It did not take long before a new shepherd was found for the moorland flock, and he came along with his family to live in the vicarage. After a few weeks, the family began to feel an odd presence, especially in the drawing room. On dark nights, the sound of what appeared to be an old man shuffling across the room with his dressing gown trailing behind him. The footfall sounded quite soft, but with a hard tread. The temperature of the room quickly fell to an icy chill, along with a strange, musty smell. At first, the new vicar was loath to tell anyone about those unearthly happenings for fear of ridicule. However, the nightly visitations became more frequent, so much so that it began to unnerve the household servants. One by one, they handed in their notices and fled the vicarage as fast as possible. It did not take long for the news to spread around the parish that ghostly happenings were occurring at the vicarage. This made it virtually impossible to find any brave souls willing to come and work there. That situation was bad enough to bear, then both his daughters became mysteriously ill. For the sake of their health, they were immediately sent to live with relatives in the nearby city of Exeter. Mysteriously, their unexplained illnesses began to get worse, and so the vicar's wife was dispatched to tend to them. This left the wretched clergyman alone to face the nightly hauntings. In desperation, the vicar sought the advice of his churchwarden, who had for many years associated with the church. With a knowing nod and a shake of his head, the churchwarden explained that during his final months, the old incumbent had virtually confined himself to the drawing room. Here, dressed in nightwear and dressing gown, he would endlessly pace up and down the room. So, in the old churchwarden's opinion, it was the troubled spirit of the old vicar that was haunting the room. Reluctantly, he explained that the only answer was to exorcise the tormented spirit and send him on his way to the better world. Back then, one way of doing this was to assemble a jury of six pious and brave parishioners who would have to sit in the haunted room holding a candle. This was to be done in half-hour shifts until finally one of the candles was blown out by some unseen being, and this would indicate that the restless spirit had been laid to rest. These sittings went on every night for a good week with no result. Each time the candle simply burnt out and the spectral visitations continued. The consensus of opinion was that because all six people sitting in the jury once knew the old vicar, his ghost knew all their faults and sins. Therefore, there was no way that any of them could condemn his soul. However, as luck would have it, a scholar from Oxford University was visiting some relatives in the village. Quite fortuitously, he was studying towards a theological degree and was well acquainted with the sacred practice. So the next night, he was elected to the jury, given his candle and sat with the other five parishioners. At first, the same old thing happened. All sat in a circle with glowing candles, all of which cast flickering shadows on the darkened walls, but none of them were extinguished. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, an unseen gust of cold air snuffed out the scholar's candle. Slowly, a thin translucent wisp of smoke spiralled from the end of the wick. All that remained to be done was to imprison the wayward spirit in a sealable container of some sort. As luck would have it, an empty beer barrel lay in the corner of the room, it being left over from the vicar's wake. Without a moment's hesitation, the scholar took his smouldering candle, removed the barrel's bung, and tossed it inside, immediately sealing it. Having successfully exorcised the troubled spirit, it was vital that no living soul should ever tamper with the barrel. So the next day, the village mason was summoned and instructed to entomb the barrel in the corner of the room with bricks and mortar, which he duly did. However, the drawing room just did not seem uniform, with a huge brick bulge protruding from one corner. The other problem was that a whole parish knew the events of that fateful night, so the temptation might be for some comedian to release the old vicar's ghost from its eternal tomb. So to kill two birds with one stone, an identical barrel-like bulge was built into each corner. This then served two purposes. Firstly, it restored some symmetry to the room, and secondly, apart from those members of the jury along with the mason, nobody knew which bulge housed the barrel. I will not say which particular vicarage these ghostly events occurred in, but will confirm that to this very day, there is one moorland vicarage that has a drawing room with strange barrel-like bulges in each corner. Bum, 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 bum. How good is that told as a story? Not told by me. How good is it written down? Fantastic. So go and check this guy's website out. Do yourself a favour. Legendary.dartmoor.co.uk. The guy's called Tim Sandals, and that is an amazing story. That's how you tell a ghost story. I feel like dropping the mic. Boom. But it's not mine, so I won't. And also, it's an expensive mic. But thank you, Bex, for sending that link in. Amazing. Oh, that's... You know what I was saying recently with this lockdown shizzle? I've been really getting back into the paranormal. It's them type of stories or those type of stories that have been dragging me back in because they're so perfect, aren't they, in every way? Like, there's a ghost, there's a conclusion, but there's an air of mystery at the end that it could still come and get you. And it's that's everything I want out of a ghost story. It's perfect. So, Bex, thank you so much for putting me onto that. And now you can all thank me. No, I'm joking. You can all thank Bex again for putting you all onto that. Yes, yes, you can. What an amazing thing. So I thought we'd tail off this episode before we go into the reviews, etc. Because I've had a few spooky things you may have seen on the Facebook page. When you go to look at the pictures I'm going to put up, have a look at the video that I put up last night of the lights flickering in my bedroom. Yes, and you can hear Becca saying, it's just the bulb, turn it off. But it's not the bulb, I'm telling you. So I thought we'd give one more go to the nonsense that is the Frank's box. Yes, or the spirit box. Let's see what we come up with, given that we've had some activity even in this room today. Things falling over. Although I dropped the guitars, I didn't move whatever the other thing was. I still don't know what that was, you know. That was terrifying. Anyway, let's turn it on. Here we go. So let's ask some questions. Let's see if we get any answers at all. Is there somebody in the house of late? Stop it there. I'll ask another question. Is there a spirit responsible for moving things around and fucking about with my lights? I've just heard something say poltergeist. Did you hear? I think I heard something say poltergeist, but I don't think a poltergeist would identify as a poltergeist. I am a poltergeist, sir. I have rights just like you. Interesting. Let's ask another question. Will you continue to do spooky things in this house and should I be scared? That's a yes or no, isn't it? And tell me more about that. I don't know, you'd ask an open question. Let's see. I think that's all nonsense, isn't it, really? Didn't hear anything from that. So I'll give you one more go. Do you have any messages that you want to pass on to either myself or Becca, or indeed the neighbour's cat? Please let me know. Maybe. Did you say that? Maybe. Hold on. Bit scared there, I'll be honest. Okay, can you say more than maybe? Can you extrapolate? Yes, I'm sure they understand that word, Kevin. Can you extrapolate, please, on your answer? I didn't hear nothing there, but you know what? I'm a little bit freaked out because it sounded like it was genuinely trying to make words there. Now, I'm pretty sure we all wouldn't want to just listen to me listening to that. So what I might do, I'm a little bit freaked out, I'll be honest. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pause it recording-wise here, but then I'm going to keep recording. And if anything happens, it'll be seamless to you. If anything, I do get anything, I'm going to... You'll hear it next. You'll hear those series of questions and any answers. If it doesn't, you'll just hear me going, that was bollocks, let's go into the reviews. But it'll be seamless. So you might hear a guitar, brang, and then we'll see. What will it be? Will we be speaking to the dead? Or will it be me saying, it's a load of bollocks? Let's find out after this guitar going, brang. Is there any spirits who wish to communicate? Two ghosts. Okay, so there's two ghosts that want to communicate. Do you have anything you would like to say to anyone in particular? Did you hear it say then, I must warn you? Like a girl's voice, I think I maybe did. That's scary, isn't it? Anything else that you want to say? What the hell? I need your help. Did you hear that? Did you seriously hear that? Did I even hear that? I need your help. It must be audio pareidolia, mustn't it? Audible pareidolia. But I definitely heard, I need your help. I must warn you. but I am in a heightened sense of scaredness. So, you know, that's what it could have been. Anyway, let's read some reviews before I go stir crazy, I tell you. Yes, so our first review comes in, it's labelled episode 140, yes, 5 stars. Sorry that you're hurting with your back. Wonderful episode as usual, and keep up the good work. The song at the end was amazing, and lots of heart emoticons. Thank you, CYD1313 from the US of A. I really appreciate that. There's going to be another song playing us out. This one is called One of Life's Little Pauses. Yes, a little acoustic number. And another one here, Ghouls, Ghosts and Laughs, 5 stars. I love your show and all the stories. Thank you. I'll be honest, please do. I've listened to other podcasts that call themselves paranormal and it's a sterile voice recording. Yes. Or reading even. I love all the funny attempts. Yeah, good attempts. Attempts at accents and the way you and Becca go back and forth. It reminds me of my boyfriend and I arguing. Thank you for your sanity-saving podcast. You're very welcome. And that's from H.R. Sard. Via Apple Podcasts in the US of A. I've just turned into one of the Beatles, probably John. I don't know how that happened. That's just for you because you like accents. Anyway, sorry to everyone else who doesn't like accents. The sane folks. Thank you so much. I hope this has been a bit of a bumper episode for you after last week's shoddy back attempt. We are back on Wednesday for it. We don't. It's the only one that week because we're in the... This is the new normal, as politicians like to say. I bloody hate that. But it is. Wednesday, we have a We Don't. The following... Then we have a normal episode, obviously, on the weekend. The following Wednesday, we have the first ever Dark. And you know what? I've built it up so much, it better be good. Otherwise, what a tit. Anyway, guys, in the meantime and in between time, if you have something that you'd like to share, then please get in touch. Contact at talkaboutghosts.com. I will read each and everything out that you send in as a story. Or if you just want to say hello, please do. You can get us, obviously, on Instagram, on Twitter, and all that sort of jazz. Don't forget to go over and sign up to the Facebook group where you'll see all the posts from today. And if you want to hear more of us, me and Becca will be over at Patreon discussing reincarnation and a few weird twin stories as well. That's at www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. But in the meantime, and in between time, I'm off to look at spooky things around the house because I think we do have a fucking ghost. Yes. Apologies for the F word, but I think it's warranted. Okay, you guys, I love you all and I will speak to you through the week. Tatty Binus. Bye.
One of life's little pauses happened the moment I looked in your eyes. Not to sound like a cliche, but everything stopped in time. Only you and me in the kitchen of a friend that we both didn't know. I only turned up because it was Friday and I'd been mithered by the actual friends who somehow knew someone who knew you. And now I know you too. Asked for your star sign, you said you don't go in for all of that. Like a typical Virgo, I said, and you laughed, and I just knew that I